Of you here tonight, and I join with Brother Kicker in welcoming all the visitors. I noticed when they came in, we have Brother and Sister Johnson from Del Rata, and we're very happy to have you, and you're welcome to come at any time. And they do occasionally, and we're always happy to have them, as well as all the other visitors that come from time to time. I call your attention tonight to Psalms 39. And thank you, Ethan, for those. If you pick those songs out, they're great songs. They're uplifting for what we have to say tonight. I think it is, Ethan. I still get these young fellows mixed up. They look a lot alike to me, especially when they come in dressed alike. Look at Psalms 39 with me, please. Now, when we read this, get this in mind, that this psalmist is having a sad day. The wickedness of the world is about to drive him crazy. And he's so concerned about it, he thinks he's about to go crazy himself. What can I do about all this? What is God doing? He's wondering about all this. He calls it in the psalm, "I mused about this." And so he pens this psalm. And I believe the Holy Spirit knew that there's a good lesson in this for all of us. Because it gained it into the immortal Word of God. He says here, "I said," when he looked at the wickedness of the world, all the corruption around him, "I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle, while the wicked are before me. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue, 'Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. And surely every man walks about like a shadow. And surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches. He does not even know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all these transgressions. Do not make me the reproach of the foolish.' I was mute. I did not open my mouth, because it was you who did it. Remove your plague from me. I am consumed by the blow of your hand. When with rebukes you, correct man for iniquity, you make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is a vapor. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. And do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you. I am a sojourner as all of my fathers were. Remove your gaze from me, that I may regain strength, and before I go away and am no more." So this man is having a bad day. He's down in the dumps, and this is 3,000 years ago, and the world was so wicked, it was bothering him. In fact, when he thought about it, he just burned up inside. You know, let's trot down now the 3,000 years to our own days, and the news that we see and we hear today all about us coming in every few seconds from the news media around the world. All of the cultural wickedness that we're exposed to now, and the advancement of anti-Christian forces, and laws being passed to grant and protect the ungodly lifestyle about us against nature. None of this has been very conducive to living on cloud nine all the time. Do we need a lesson like this? Well, let me ask you a question. How many of you have been on cloud nine all of your life? Not only all of your life, Have any of you ever been on a low limb since you became a Christian? Well, Brother Northern, doesn't the Bible say rejoice? And again, I say rejoice. Well, sure. Why do you think he said it? The Holy Spirit knew we needed it. When he said it to these early New Testament Christians, they were suffering greatly. They were being persecuted on every side. They were experiencing some things that we today in this land know nothing of. I hope to God we never know anything about it. And so Paul wrote and told them, rejoice. Even though you're down on a low limb, remember to rejoice. Who has lived in the heights with no valleys? I tell you, all of us on some days have had what I call the gloomies. You know, some Christians even have found some unique ways to deal with this, being down in the dumps or having a bad day. There was a lady and her husband in the church one time years ago that had lived a long time with her husband. They'd had a good marriage. And she was being interviewed by a younger lady about marriage and so on, and she says, I know that you must have had some bad days with living together this long for 60 years. How did you manage this when you get through and come on through these all these years? She said, well, I had an understanding with Elmer when we got married that if he ever came in and found me with my apron on backwards, he was not to say a word to me. And we've sort of lived for that. And I think that we do have to come up with some things that we invent ourselves to pull us through the gloomies. Well, anyway, just understand that rejoicing, as Paul told us all to do, is because we're putting up a fight of the Lord. Paul says also, who said that? Fight the good fight of faith. And part of the good fight of faith that we're fighting is those days of the blues. They come along and you have to put up a good fight because there are a lot of days that just sour the soul. You know what I'm talking about. You're feeling that way that day, and somebody looks at you and says, smile, cheer up, and it just irks you, you know. When I think of that, and when I wrote that down to remember, I was thinking about Ralph Cramden. Now, I'm going to talk about your age a little bit. You know who Ralph Cramden was? You remember the Honeymooners? When Alice would get his goat, you know what he would say? I'm going to send you to the moon, Alice. Everybody has these kind of days. I want to remind you of something tonight, though, as we think about this, and we all have them, that if you've been down in the dumps and you've had bad days and you had, you get the blues when it rains, you're not alone. Some of the best saints, some of the best people that we can read about in the Bible had their bad days. They also had blue days. The psalmist is having one we're talking about that we're going to say some more about in a few minutes. But just stop and think about this. Moses in Exodus 17 chapter was having a bad day. He brought these people out and they were telling him, you brought us out here to kill us. And what we're going to do, we're going to kill you. And Moses said unto God, these people are planning to kill me. Now you think of a day like that, you know. Not a good day for Moses. Yet he was a prophet of God and he's gone down immortal in the Bible, the Word of God, because he held up. Well, again, not only that, remember Job? Remember all the problems that Job had? One day, a special bad day came along when he was thinking about all this and he said, may the day perish on which I was born. Have you ever said that? Have you ever been that low on that lower limb? I just wished I'd never been born, you know. Well, not only Job, but what about Elijah? The queen was seeking his life, you know. He'd had a good day a few days before on Mount Carmel, but now when the queen heard about it, she was going to kill him, and he ran for his life. He could stand up to 400 prophets of Baal, but he couldn't stand up to one woman, you know. And she was seeking his life. He ran all the way and hid under a juniper bush and told the Lord, oh, he said, there's nobody serving you but me, and now just take my life. I wish I could die. You ever had a day like that? There's a great man of God that's gone down in the Bible, a prophet here, that's lived on in the Bible for years, and he had a bad, bad day. And there was the day when David was in Gedi, and it was a bad day for him. And he wrote down in Psalms 142, "No man cares for my soul." You ever feel like the world's against you? Nobody's for you and you're down in the dumps of bad? Well, there's King David, gone down immortal in the Bible, had such a bad day. He had others too, but that's the only one we're going to talk about tonight. Then what about that great prophet Jeremiah? Bless old Jeremiah's heart. He was treated so badly. He had lots of bad days, and he wrote about a lot of bad things, so much so that his name has come down today as the weeping prophet. And when you read a sad story, or when somebody's writing about a sad story, they call it a Jeremiade, which means it's a sad story, you know. Well, look at Jeremiah. He had a bad day. I don't think you could have much worse than this. This old boy had been buried in a pit. He'd mired down to his waist, you know, and they were feeding him bread and water. And he got so upset at the situation. You know, what if you were like that? What would you be thinking? What do we think sometimes when look like the wicked have the upper hand and you're being put down and disregarded and have no respect and treated ugly and you're trying to be the good fella? Well, Jeremiah, and this is what a bad day will get you to sometimes. Look what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 4:10. "Lord, you have deceived this people. You told them that you would bring us out to peace, and look what we have." Whew, I'd be scared to talk to the Lord like that. Well, I've had some bad days, but I never had a bad day that I wanted to speak to the Lord and say, "Hey, you told us a story about this." But Jeremiah did. So I said all of this to say this, that gloom is a viral enemy. It gets down in our soul, and it can cause you to wonder sometimes if your best friends are really your best friends. Are they going to stick with you through this or not? You know what I'm talking about? In John, the 6th chapter, verse 27, Jesus had experienced great crowds coming around him. He was preaching and he performing miracles, and there was multitudes all around. But Jesus was concerned about them coming for his miracles and for the bread that he fed them and so on. He taught them a great lesson and said, "I am the bread of life. You've got to eat me." And the Greek there actually says in their reply, they could not stomach this. And the Bible says they turned and walked away. His crowds vaporized when he changed from peddling out food to them to trying to teach them the truth. God forbid that that would happen today, but it might happen. But anyway, when that happened, well, how do you think Jesus felt? They've all gone. They don't care for the teaching of the truth. And here's these 12 apostles around him. And he turns to them and said, "Would you also go away?" Catch the feeling of that. Well, he was the Lord God, but he was in human flesh. And the Bible says he was tempted in all ways in which we are tempted. He had some gloomy days. And this was one of them. But I want to call your attention to somebody else. Has you ever felt like that maybe you just really misunderstood Jesus Christ and it wasn't really what you thought when you first... Do you ever think about that? What about John the Baptist? John the Baptist had his great day when Jesus came down to be baptized. He baptized him here. He says, "Oh goodness, you ought to be baptizing me, not me baptizing you." Jesus said, "Yes, you baptized me." So he baptized him. That was a great day. He says, "This is the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world," a couple of days later. But then, you know, he rebuked old King Herod because of his marriage and said, "It's not lawful for you to have it." She said, his wife said, "Arrest him, put him in jail." And he did. And there he is in this dark dungeon, the shackles, the chains, the bread, the water, and he's sitting there. He's John the Baptist, the great prophet. There he is. How would you feel? You remember what John said? Last words we have of him to Jesus Christ. The Bible says he sent to Jesus and said, "Are you the one?" or do we wait for another? You ever felt like that? Now, John the Baptist, Jesus said, was the greatest prophet that had ever lived of all the prophets. So the greatest of all the prophets had a day and said, I wonder if I've really had this right. Of course, great man as he was, I'm sure that he accepted what Jesus sent back to him and said, you go back and tell John that that man that he baptized is casting out demons. He's performing these miracles. He's healing the sick. He's doing. And I just know that when he got back and said, John, you were right. You were never. He is the Christ. I've been with him. I have seen these things. And I can see how that John then could lay his head down upon that block and have himself beheaded in peace. So we come to this. Gloom is an enemy, is really a viral enemy, as we said. We got to be on guard for it. And that's the first line here, you know, that's the psalm. He says, I got to be on guard. Psalm 39 is a melancholy hymn with a victorious ending. I think that's the reason the Holy Spirit allows it to stay in, or allowed it to stay in there. It's because it's not just sad, sad, sad. It's sad to start with, but there's victory in it. And we're going to see in a few minutes that it closes with drum roll beating of victorious triumph, you know. But his frustrations in this Psalms 39 leads him to a burning anger as he looks about and the wicked are prospering. They're having a heyday. Nobody's paying any attention to the word of the Lord. And what did he decide to do? He said, I just bit my tongue. He wanted to yell at them, evidently. But he said, I silenced my tongue. Maybe we ought to think about that. Because in our blue days, we might want to yell out and we might want to say some things and then later we're sorry for it. I think that may be what he's getting at here. I got to guard my tongue. In the kind of condition I'm in today, I might say some things that later I would regret. Well, if I did that and said some ugly things back, I'd be just as bad as this wicked world. And that's why he's going to say in a few minutes, help me not to sin with my tongue, you know. James talked about in that in the New Testament, you know, be angry, but God just, now this man's angry. Oh, he's mad. The Bible says he burned within. And sometimes it gets kind of to us, doesn't it? We see all of this stuff going on in the world, and we hear these court decisions that are coming down that are favoring and protecting the unnatural and the ungodly. And it kind of burns within if we're really loving righteousness as we should. And nothing we can do about it. He thought, nothing I can do about it. And it just got to eating on him. And it ate on him so badly that he just, in his frustration, he got mad and he said, I got to bite my tongue about this thing. Well, so he did stay silent for a while. While I thought on these things, I burned within. But he did start talking and in a victorious way. And we'll watch this as he moves through his prayer from down in the blues up to the heights again. He made a correct choice in his bad day. On a bad day, prayer is always a good therapy. And that's what he resorts to. There's no better therapy when one is when no one in the wide world cares for nobody and nobody would listen. Who am I going to talk to? I can't talk to this world. They're wicked. They won't listen. I'll talk to God. What a wise choice. So now then, in the latter part of our lesson, let's listen to his prayer and let's tonight try to profit by what he says to God. You know his first thing he says here? He says, O Lord, make me to know my end. When I'm thinking about all of this and I'm having a bad day and a bad time, help me focus on what is eternal. Help me focus on the things that matter. As we get in the world, God's going to take care of that. But Lord, you help me with a relationship with you, so that when I look down to the end of things, I know that goodness, our relationship with you, is what's going to matter. It's what's going to prevail. So measure my days. I know, keep me understanding that life is brief. And this stuff here that's worrying me to death or concerned about is soon be gone. And this wickedness about me that seems unending is going to end. And I just won't have to put up with that forever, because it's going to end. And I'm going to end too. But Lord, help me to think about what's coming at the end. While I'm in this life then, help me to stay focused on what really matters. Now, isn't that something on a day that you have the blues? Focus. Stay focused on what matters. Oh, it takes a great discipline of heart and mind. But he says here, help me to stay focused. You know, we know in the New Testament, that's what happened to Peter. Peter was always jumping into things, you know. One day he jumped in a storm. He jumped overboard. That shows great faith. If that's the Lord, he can make me walk on water. And so we jumped overboard too from the world. We became a Christian. We started walking on water with the Lord, so to speak. But Peter took his eyes off of the end. He said, help me see my end. Peter took his eyes off of the end, the target, Jesus. He put them on the storm and the waves, and he began to sink. Lord, save me. Jesus, why did you doubt, O little faith? On your bad days, when you're looking at the storm, you begin to doubt. You better guard against that. And the prayer with the psalmist and the prayer with the apostle Peter is, Lord, save me. Save me from this. And he's always been faithful. We may not have always been faithful, but he's always faithful. And he stretched forth and he saved Peter, and he also does wonders for this man here. What happens when he turns his feelings over to God? Well, as we read further in the psalm, we see him transform. We see this man transformed, and he comes out of his prayer with a new outlook on life. What's in the world, he says, is vanity. Look at the world. Wickedness, mess, and all this going on. Cash registers ringing, ding, 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 and all of this. It's all coming to an end. Greediness, he says in here, is vain. The wicked hoard the riches. And the way he ends this, he says, and they don't even know who's going to get theirs when they die. You know, it's going to go to somebody they don't even know, maybe. Well, that reminds me also of a New Testament story in Jesus, you know, in Luke 12 and verse 18. He says, here's an old farmer over here, and as his crops are just bringing forth plentifully. And he says, what am I going to do with all this? He says, I know what I'll do. I'll build greater barns, and I'll fill them. What are you going to do? Well, I'll build greater barns. Jesus said, you're a fool. We're hesitant about calling people a fool, but the word here really is, this man's acting foolishly. And he is, because he says, when you get your barns all full, you're going to have a heart attack. Well, Jesus said, you'll die, you'll suddenly die. And all your barns are going to be full and you're dead. Now, isn't that a foolish thing, he says? So he says, keep proper focus. Keep your mind on the target. And so in this prayer, it dawns on the psalmist that what really matters is focusing upon the brevity of life, and that all is coming to an end, and what matters is how you stand with God when the end comes. So he reaches this conclusion, my wallowing in the mire over wickedness is just a waste of my time. Isn't that what he says there? Did you read it? What wait I for? If I wait for all the answers to all of these problems in the world, I'll be waiting forever. So he said, what wait I for? What am I wasting my time over all this for? God's going to take care of everything. The thing that really matters is being right at the end. His hope for deliverance and maintaining a right relationship with God. And that's going to pull him through. I will not let these circumstances, that's what he said, I will not sin with my tongue. I will not let these circumstances cause me to sin and say ugly things. So therefore, Lord, he says, deliver me from my sins. Now, you can pray for the world, but you can't pray that God would save this man right here in his sin. Jesus said, he that believeth not shall be damned. And you can pray for them all you want to, but if they don't believe, then that's where they're going to fall. And this man says here, there's always going to be wickedness. If it's not, if it's something I can't do anything about, I'm wasting my time to mourn and make myself sick over this situation. And so he says, let me move on with my life. Let me get on with this. Now, at the close of his prayer, we hear the rolling drums of victory. And this is good for all of us. You see what he says there? I am a sojourner. I'm a stranger here. I don't belong to this world. I don't believe and think like they do. I'm not going to end up where they are if I keep my relationship and stay focused. And so then, I'm just a stranger. And that's what we've got to think. We love this beloved country of ours. We know that it can't go to the devil and continue. We know that God takes care of countries that go in the wrong direction. So while we love our country, we love God first. And we're on our blue days when all of this comes in, that nothing, absolutely nothing, is going to get ahead of God. So then, and we think of this, he says, I'm a stranger here. Did you notice those next two words after sojourner? I'm a sojourner here with thee. I am a pilgrim. I'm going to move through this world of wickedness, but I'm going to keep you with me. We're going to do this together. And so tell God on your dark days, we'll do this together. We'll handle this together. And you and God will handle this together. So what can we gather tonight as we close our lesson from all of this? Well, if it worked for him, why wouldn't it work for you and me? Throughout our Christian experiences, stay focused on the eternal, good days, bad days, whatever. Discipline yourself and stay with God. And when frustrated and angry at the unfairness in this world, remember, you're just a passing through. We sing that song sometimes, don't we? Just a stranger here, just a passing through. So tonight, let's leave here after looking at this man's troubles and then his victory. And we leave here tonight. Let's leave here with our spirits uplifted. That's what we come together for in assemblies like this. To come out of that choking atmosphere of the world out there where all we hear is just wickedness, 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 and come in here and breathe the fresh air of the Spirit of God. Sing these beautiful hymns and our prayers. And so then the dark days may come, but look on the darkest day for the least of light. The tiniest light will glow in the darkest day. Evil will not prevail. I was reading this past week wherein the early church was suffering from so much of the persecution of the empire and so on. They were dying, I'm telling you. And it said the statement of some of these early Christians as they were led out of the cells was this. We have lived, we have loved, and we shall live in love again. When we go out of here tonight and go back into that wicked world, we have lived, we have loved, and praise God, at the end we will live in love again. Well, at the very close now, I have only these words to say. If anyone hears now in our assembly, feels the perplexity of this psalmist, take it to God. Pray earnestly with him. Paul prayed for 3 days in the darkness. What a dark day that must have been, dark 3 days. And God sent the light. And the light walked in that darkness of Paul in Ananias with the word of God and said, why are you tarrying? Remember this man says, what wait I for? And Ananias says to Paul, arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins. What are you waiting for? And we sing the song sometime. Why do you wait, dear brother? Why do you tarry so long? There's no use of waiting. If you're here tonight and you haven't been baptized for the remission of sins, then you still belong in that part of the world that needs to repent and be baptized and have your sins washed away. And then you can leave here a different person. You may not even been aware of the darkness that the world is in when you came in, but listening to this and knowing the Word of God, new revelation has come like this through our prayer. If there's someone here tonight that has obeyed the gospel, and as this man said, Lord, on his dark day, Lord, keep me from sinning, but you sinned. And you know now you shouldn't have. And you're sorry of it, and you're penitent of it, and you say, Brother Northern, I sure would love to have the prayers of the church. Well, we'll pray with you and for you. If you need to be baptized, you come. If you need to be restored because it got the best of you, like Peter, he went to thinking, have you sunk? And are you crying, or are you able to cry tonight, Lord, save me? We will pray with you and for you all together. We stand and sing.